Tim, that wasn't too long. We did pretty good tonight, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, John.
Don't you love when I give you a little nonprofit history?
Yes, I love it. It's my favorite.
I know. I know you love that segment, Nonprofit History with John Hansen, right ahead of Tuesdays with Tim. Tim, you're from TJ Stearns. We talk a lot about retirement and the riddles that are out there, the potential pitfalls. And as you and I have kind of talked about the stock market being at or near all-time highs, we've had a little pullback and a good day today, or, you know, we're kind of going back and forth here, vacillating a bit. There's a specific ratio or number that you and other financial advisors kind of look to, and day traders too, I imagine, just to say, is everything right, what we're seeing? What ratio, what numbers are you looking at that maybe the rest of us aren't?
Well, I read a really good article by Javier Estrada, who has his doctorate in finances. And basically what he was saying is that a lot of us should be prioritizing fundamental valuations like, you know, earnings growth rate, price earning ratios, because right now they're, you know, we're chasing performance.
Are you talking about, right? Like individual stocks? Or are you like breaking down index funds that way? Because most of us and most of the people you work with, they're not buying individual stocks for the most part.
Well, you'd be surprised at how many people are trying to play this, game of getting the hot stock, NVIDIA being one of them, that come in here with that, or they're bullish on the market when there's not really a lot of reasons to be bullish. So this article really stuck out to me that, you know, basically what this guy is saying is prepare for lower stock market returns over the next decade. This can't be sustained the way that we're going right now.
What is unsustainable about it? What ratio is out of whack? It's the earnings and the rate in which the earnings are going up versus the rate in which the stock price is going up, meaning the company's earnings may be doing okay, but they're not doing it to the tune of what the stock price is doing.
That is exactly correct. You're looking at, we should be paying more attention to valuations and looking at diversification at this point. If you're getting ready to retire or you are retired, now is not the time to be gambling. And I feel like a lot of people are gambling.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, a lot of people wonder, they're like, how is this stock price worth this much? It can't possibly be worth this much. Well, guess what? It's an open market. It's worth whatever the price is. But when you look under the hood, it's the earnings. That's where people kind of go to find their ground, right? Like, what? No, because, I mean, a stock price is worth whatever it is worth, right? I mean, that's what the market sets it at. But
I agree with you.
But the earning is what's under the hood, right?
Exactly. And I think a lot of people are losing sight of that. We always like to say, you know, the bull market takes the stairs, the bear market takes the elevator. And I just think that at this stage of the game, people should be very cautious.
All right. We'll obviously have more on this in a moment. Tim, how do you want people to reach you over the phone before we continue the segment in a bit?
1-800-640-2256. That's 1-800-640-2256.
Speaking of your family's future, Tim Stearns, father of three, Arlington Heights guy, always helping out folks in Chicago with their futures. We're talking about like high valuations. You know, we're trying to look under the hood of the stock market, which is just doing so great, and we all feel good about it, but there's like this unease underneath. And Tim, I think the article that you read is that unease in a mathematical equation. It's that these companies' values on the stock market are going up higher than their earnings are representing. It's not that these companies are bad companies.
No.
It's that we've just gotten super heated on what we're buying.
Right. I think what we need to do is basically resist recency bias, which, you know, the urge to believe, you know, recent strong performance will persist indefinitely. We have a lot of people coming in here who want to get a plan together, and I'm looking at their portfolios and they're heavily weighted in stocks that are very, I worry about them correcting and what that will mean to them. So, I mean, we need to go back to the fundamentals here and make sure that we're, you know, diversified and that you have an actual plan. Because if you temper your expectations, it'll help you in the long run.
I mean, this does mean different things to different ages. I mean, if you're 30 and you're buying overvalued stocks and you're dollar cost averaging, you're still doing the right thing. I mean, like you're getting time in the market as opposed to timing the market, which we hear a lot on this station. But it's different when you're 50 or 55, right? I mean, like this is who you're talking about that needs to worry.
Yeah, I'm talking about anybody my age and above. I'm going to be 54 this month, and I you know, I'm seeing people come in here who are in their late 60s, early 70s that are taking more risk than I am. And, you know, we want to bring them back down to earth and explain to them that, you know, this thing could change on you real fast. And then you're working some more years, and that definitely gets them their attention quickly.
We were talking the other day about rebalancing, and I brought up, oh, my 401k automatically rebalances. But that's just like to balance the ratio of like 70-30, 80-20 stocks to bonds. But a lot of IRAs don't do that themselves. A lot of Roths don't do that themselves. And there's probably a lot of people, because that number can get out of whack, Tim, as stocks have overperformed bonds. Do you get a lot of people walking in that have their ratios way off from where they thought they were when they set them 10, 15, 20 years ago?
Usually what we're seeing is that the stocks are where the bonds should be and vice versa.
Whoa.
So what you want to do is make sure you are, you know, rebalancing. This time of year is a great time to look at the overall market and see exactly what needs to be done, because we're seeing a lot of people who are on autopilot, and autopilot doesn't get you much if, you know, the market gets very volatile.
You know, we're kind of talking generally, right? And yep, making one size fits all statements, but I imagine you tailor this and tinker this based on who walks in the door and what you're able to get from them on what their pain point is, right? I mean, if there's a couple out there that maybe has some more in reserves, they're not going to be drawing as much from their retirement right amount, they have some extra savings, you can maybe be a little bit more risky if they're tolerant of that, knowing that they could still earn a lot, because, you know, you still got to earn a lot over a long time.
Right. I mean, even my mother is still in the stock market, but we, you know, we have to temper the expectations of some of these people and realize that the markets are not going to be able to keep chugging along like they're doing. I mean, we need to resist that recency bias I speak of.
Your mom's not all in NVIDIA?
No, not today.
But she was for a long time.
Christmas.
Yeah. She came in at 94 and was like, I'm all in NVIDIA. And you're like, hold on. As you get to 95, we got to change this thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
I love her. She's great. Broad looks at what we're doing. Would you say, if you could guess a percentage of people that have walked in the door, given you a call, including many WGN radio listeners, which we love, Tim, how many are heavier in equities than you think, not that you are comfortable with, but after you explain it to them, you realize that they are uncomfortable with it once they realize what's in the portfolio?
Well, we have a really great way to show them that, show them exactly what they're in and then what we would think that they should be in. And it shows what the returns are. And we show them the down years, and it gets their eyes wide open real fast. And they don't want to do that at this stage of the game.
So what, like 80, 90, nearly 100% of people go, uh-oh?
I would say at least 80%. Because they don't really realize what's underlying these mutual funds that they think they're diversified, where they own, you know, NVIDIA or Apple 15 times. I mean, that's not diversification.
Right. We talk a lot about trying to make portfolios maybe a little bit safer or with able to withstand market shocks. Yep. And I think that's important. But Tim, a lot of people are on the opposite side of things. Maybe they are heavily in a savings account that maybe has done better the last couple of years because you could get 3 or 4%.
Sure.
But for decades, we're 0-1%. I imagine there are some clients that you have to chat with to go, well, look, we need to make this money, make some money. Do you ever encounter those clients too?
Absolutely. People who've been stung before because they got, you know, their eyes got too big, that they went into things that they shouldn't have been. We have to kind of pry them off the sidelines and show them that it's safe to go back in the water, that there are things that we can put, you know, floors on or stop losses or things that will help them, that, you know, they won't lose, you know, 30% like they did in 2008. That's what we hear a lot when someone's still on the sidelines. I mean, they're missing out on, you know, the only way you can stay up on inflation is by having something in the market.
There is one thing you've always told me that sticks with me is the thought of, do you know how much is in your 401k, give or take a couple thousand? I think most people do. Do you know how much you're going to pay Uncle Sam on that 401k over time? And nobody does. I mean, when you really break it down, and you broke it down for me once, and I think that alone is a reason to call you, because like you can help break down that number, because I talk about people's eyes opening up wide. You tell them what they're going to owe Uncle Sam, or if, God willing, they're able to pass some of that on to their kids, what their kids will end up owing Uncle Sam on some of that money is astronomical.
Well, and what you're speaking of is the tax impact report. And for, you know, the first 10 callers that call in at 800 640-2256. I'll be happy to do that report for them. It is an eye opener. People don't realize how much they're going to have to pay in taxes during retirement and then what's left to their beneficiaries.
800-640-2256. Tim, make it the first 12 for me. Give me a couple extras, okay?
You're good. I'll do that. I'll do that.
No, you do great work. Seriously, if you don't know what you're going to pay in taxes, take a look. There's strategies you can do to minimize that.
Yep.
And Tim walks you through all that stuff. He does it in a really easy to understand way with graphs and charts and all the things I love to look at for a living. Tim, we're out of time today. 800-640-2256. I think we're going to chat maybe one more time before the holiday, Tim. We're already there, buddy.
I'm hoping so, John.
Yeah, as always. We'll take care, and you too as well, okay?
All right, thanks, John. Same to you.